This is going to be our first sermon in 2015. I'm really honored to be up here today to give you the word. It's the year of wealth. And I remember when I first heard it and that green background came down. That's really green, by the way. Mina says it makes Pastor Christian look like the Green Goblin. It's not just green, it's like really green. You know what I mean? It's like, pow! And so when I saw that, I was like, wow. God is going to do something crazy this year. And we've, you know, in Sunday Swim, we've shared some of the testimonies that's been already coming out from this year. And it really is amazing. You know, and God is lining us up. We can tell by just the testimonies that are coming in. And we need to have an expectation for ourselves and for the church in this year. And I encourage all of you guys to really have an expectation from the Lord for what He's going to do. I like how PC, in last week's sermon, he mentioned it like this. It's not all about the money, but a big part of this year of wealth is going to be about the money. And I like how he said it in that way. It's going to be blessings, tangible blessings from the Lord, finances, increase, and favor that God has in store for His people. Now, last week's sermon about out of 2 Corinthians 9, we really need to catch this sermon and this word before we embark on this year. We have to catch it and embrace it for what God has for us and how He wants His people to come into it. And we have to read it in the plain text. And I'm going to read it to you, 2 Corinthians 9. The point is this, Paul is saying this, and he's talking about financial giving. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And when we read that in the plain text, it basically is telling us, and for the people of God to really be expectant of the blessings of God that come with sowing into the kingdom of God. When I read this, I see in plain language from God how we are to advance the kingdom of God. And it's not just about sowing spiritual seeds to reap a spiritual harvest. Yes, that's very important. Okay, we don't deny that. It includes that, and that's a big part of it. But there is a dynamic of kingdom finance, kingdom wealth, that is key in the church taking its proper position for the kingdom of God. It's kingdom-mindedness. And some of the reasons I believe that the church at times looks so ill-equipped. Ill-equipped in influence and power has a lot to do with the Christian world taking this dynamic for granted. And it's not just about getting rich. I want you guys to understand that. It's like, oh, and I remember my friend Diddy from Australia, when he said, when he heard the sermon, he was like, I'm rich! He's just kidding around. But it's not just about getting rich. It's about being a pipe. It's about being a pipe. Being the means of sowing so that we and the kingdom can reap the harvest. And in doing so, we will be blessed and blessed to be a blessing. And I encourage all of you guys, if you haven't heard the sermon from last week, download it and listen to it. And if you have listened to it and you were here, I encourage all of you guys to listen to it again. Get this into your system before you continue on in this year. Because if you don't have it in your system, there might be things that are happening in your life and you're gonna miss it. You're going to just let things go by. And there's going to be opportunities and favor and blessing that is coming your way. But unless you have this teaching, unless you have this word ingrained in you, you're going to miss it. So I encourage you guys to check out that sermon. And as we start this year of wealth, I feel like there are also things that God wants to deal with us within us. He wants to deal with things that are in our lives. Things that He wants us to overcome. You know, find breakthrough in and things that will help us to experience the fullness of His blessings. To overcome things that can block the blessings of God in our lives. And today I'm going to start a sermon series. I preach the next 4 Sundays out of the next 6. No, out of the next 6 Sundays, I'm going to preach 4 Sundays. And as I was seeking the Lord, I was really like going to Him about what I should preach or how I should really kind of go about the preaching for the beginning of the year. He really downloaded this series into my heart. He just gave me a few words, but I feel like, you know, it's just really has been developing, and I think it's a powerful word for Busan and for the church. And so my next sermon series for the future Sundays, I'll be preaching on the things that can block the blessings of God. Things in our lives, things that we do, things that we struggle with that are going to block the blessings of the Lord in our lives. And today we're going to start by focusing on one man in particular. We're going to talk about a man named Saul. We'll talk about King Saul. You know, I said this in a previous sermon, but Saul, King Saul, and the Apostle Paul before he became Saul, he ruined that name for Christians. I don't know any Christian that has ever been named Saul. You know what I mean? And Hitler. But I believe that, you know, for generations to come, no Christian is going to name their kids Saul. Jews name their kids. There's a lot of Jews named Saul. And there's a lot of Jewish converts, you know, that were born Jewish and they converted Christian. But, you know, I haven't yet to meet a family of Christians that named their kids Saul. And it's because King Saul, you know, he wasn't known for great things. I mean, he was kind of that example of what not to do, right? You know, I was like that example at one point in my life. Like my whole family, they're like, look at him, don't do that. And they did it. Every one of my cousins are like all doctors, right? That's crazy. I have like 6 doctors in my family. I'm the only one that's not a doctor. Me and my sister. Well, my sister's a doctor. She got her doctorate in human genetics, so she's a brainiac. I'm like the only one that didn't become a doctor. They're like, yeah, don't be like that guy. Don't be like Saul. But God has redeemed me, amen? But you know what? It's crazy because when we think about Saul, we have to know that he was chosen by God. Now that there's a very strong, there's a very important key in there that we cannot miss. He was chosen by God, and because he was chosen, he didn't have to run for office. He didn't have to campaign through Judea, you know, vote for Saul. You know, he's handsome and tall. He's good looking. Vote for me, you know. He didn't have to do all that. He was chosen. God said, you know what? I choose this man. And in him being chosen, everything that he needed to succeed and prosper was made available to him, including God's mouthpiece, Samuel. Yeah. So when we think about Saul, we think God set him up for failure. But it's not. When we read 1 Samuel, we see that God gave Saul everything that he needed for success. Yeah. He was chosen. He wasn't set up to fail. Every direction, every instruction, gifting and anointing for him to succeed was made available for him. Before Saul is chosen to be king, you know, Saul and Samuel, they have this encounter. You know, in 1 Samuel, the Israelites, they're like, no, we want a king. Everybody else has a king. Why can't we get a king? We want a king. And Samuel's like, he's a prophet. He's like, man, what are you talking about? God is your king. But they're like, no, we want a king. So Samuel is really like, he's angry. Goes to the Lord. He's like, Lord, they want a king. And then God's like, you know what? I'm going to give them what they want. And so, like, Samuel's like, what? And then Saul, you know, Saul, he's a king. He's a son of a Benjaminite. And he's out there looking for donkeys. Okay? His dad had lost some donkeys. And he's out there with his servant searching the area looking for these lost donkeys. And then they can't find the donkeys. It's been a couple of days. And the servant suggests to Samuel, you know, there's a very wise prophet seer that lives in this area. We should go see him. And Saul is like, well, you know, we don't have anything to bring him. We've been traveling for 3 days. We don't have any bread. And the servant's like, well, I got some coins in my pocket. We can just maybe give him this and we can ask him about where we can find our donkeys. And right about that time, the Lord tells Samuel that he will meet a man from the tribe of Benjamin and that he will become the king of Israel. And then there's this meeting where Saul comes into where Samuel lives. And then right then, God confirms it. This is the man. This is the Benjaminite that you're going to make king. And then Samuel tells Saul, like, you know what? You're going to become king. And Saul answers, am I not a Benjaminite, the least of the tribes of Israel? And is not my clan the humblest of all the clans of all the tribe of Benjamin? Why then have you spoken to me in this way? And it's kind of understandable. You know, it's, I don't know, like, what? Like, you know, so, some dude comes up to you, you're going to be king. It's okay. It's understandable. You're like, what? Me? I'm come from the least of the tribe of Israel, you know? It's understandable. And so Samuel, he anoints him with oil, and then he gives him three signs. Signs to him that the Lord has anointed him to be the king. And these signs weren't just like willy-nilly signs. These signs were to affirm in him to faith to, for the Lord, to really affirm in him who God is and how he was going to provide everything for his kingdom. And so he gives him these signs. He tells him, when you go back, two men are going to come up to you and they're going to let you know that the donkeys are all right. That they've been found, they've been returned to your father. And as you go further, there's going to be three men going up to Bethel. One of them is going to be have three young goats. One of them is going to have three loaves of bread, and one of them is going to have three skins of wine. And then they're going to give you two loaves of bread. And then you're going to meet these prophets. And then you're going to go, and you're going to start. The Spirit of God will rush upon you, and you're going to start prophesying like crazy. Now these signs aren't just like willy nilly. It really is that, you know, when the man comes up to him and said, The donkeys are all right. It's basically telling him, I'm gonna make everything okay. I'm gonna solve your problems for you. And when the men bring him bread, he didn't have any bread. He'd run out of bread. He's like, I'm gonna provide for you. I'm gonna give everything that you need. And these aren't just like, these are actual signs. Like Samuel is like this is going to happen, and you're gonna know that the Lord has chosen you. And then when he meets the prophets. And he starts to prophesy. When you read Samuel, like the one thing that's crazy is Samuel is well known all throughout the land. All the Israelites know him as the mighty prophet Samuel. But Saul, he didn't know about him. And so when we get that, we kind of understand that Saul was a man that wasn't into spiritual things. He was really just busy taking care of the work for his father. He wasn't really, you know, his mind wasn't very on spiritual matters. Because he didn't even know who the prophet Samuel was. And yet, God said, you're going to meet these prophets and you're going to prophesy like crazy. And he meets these prophets, and all of a sudden, he starts to prophesy. So much so that they ask him, is Saul one of the prophets? Has Saul become one of the prophets? It's like a proverb that is released all throughout the land. That's powerful. This should be confirming in Saul's mind and heart. Wow. I have, for every answered sign that comes, he's going to be like, whoa, God has chosen me. And then the next sign comes, bam, whoa, man, this is crazy. Oh, but the third, it's not going to happen. I'm not, you know, like, I don't know about prophesying. Bam, Spirit of God rushes upon him. He starts to prophesy. He should be affirming in his mind and his heart that God has destined him to be king. And all these things come to pass. You know, like Saul's walking down, and the guy comes. He's like, you know what? Your donkeys are fine. Gives him some bread. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes upon him. He starts prophesying like crazy. Verse 10. Therefore, it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? Bam! God is saying, I choose you. And with the signs he's saying, I will solve your problems. I will meet your needs. I will give you power. Saul should have been mad excited. He should have been like, oh man, I'm going to be king. You know, like that's all. I just can't wait to be king. You know, Lion King? But Simba, he knows that he's going to be king. And then like, oh, you know, he's a little kid. He's just excited. Oh man, I'm going to be king. You know? I just can't wait to be king. He should be excited. He's going to be a king. And God himself is establishing this reign. You guys understand that? He should know that it's God himself that is establishing this reign over his life. This should have been exciting news for Saul. But how does he respond? 1 Samuel 10:14. Saul's uncle said to him and to his servants, where did you go? And he said, to seek the donkeys. And when we saw that they were not to be found, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, please tell me what Samuel said to you. And Saul said to his uncle, He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingdom of which Samuel had spoken, he did not tell him anything. Right there, we see the position of his heart. And the position of his heart is unbelief. God did not set Saul up for failure. He gave him everything he needed. But what blocked the blessing of the Lord for his life was fear and unbelief. And this is the first of my series of what's going to really block the blessing and the anointing that God has for your life. And it's fear and unbelief. His reign started with fear and with unbelief. And we see this from the beginning of his reign as king. Samuel, he's about to proclaim him as king. He's like, all right, the first king of Israel. Dun, 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 and he's nowhere to be seen. They're like, man, where'd he go? And what is he doing? He's hiding amongst the baggage. And throughout the reign of Saul, you see him being disobedient, deceptive, and even downright crazy. And it can all be traced to his fear and his unbelief. When Samuel gave him the three signs that would accompany his kingship, he also gave him this appointed rendezvous time. Okay, he's like, you know what? Go, you know, like once these signs have been done, you just do what you want to do. And it's all going to succeed. And you're going to go down to Gilgal and you're going to wait there 7 days. And I will come and I will do a burnt offering. And I'll tell you what to do. And so now Saul is a few years into his reign as king. And he finds himself at Gilgal. And he waits the 7 days for Samuel to come. He's waiting the 7 days. This is like an appointed meeting that he's been kind of waiting for a long time. He's been knowing about this meeting for quite a long time. But Samuel is nowhere to be seen. Meanwhile, the Philistine army is camped just 20 miles away, and his people are starting to desert him. They are greatly outnumbered, and the people are starting to lose confidence in him. Some of them are crossing the river. They're running away. And this was God testing his faith and patience. Because without faith and patience, we can't receive what the Lord has promised us. But instead of waiting on the Lord in faith, he performs the burnt offerings himself. And as he's doing the offering, Samuel comes. And he's like, what have you done? And he replies, when I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines had mustered at Mishmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offerings. Saul is a man who's driven by fear. He's driven by unbelief. And it blocks the blessings of the Lord from entering his life. Because right after that, Samuel says, what does he say? You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. Saul had everything he needed to prosper. Every instruction, every blessing, every anointing that he needed to prosper was available to him, and yet he forfeited it because of his fear and unbelief. It can prevent us from receiving the full blessing, the destiny that the Lord has for us. He wasn't set up to fail. He was set up to succeed. But fear and unbelief stopped all that. You know, when you talk about fear and unbelief, they go hand in hand. When you have fear, you have unbelief. And when you have unbelief, it's going to manifest itself in fear. When you look at the source of Saul's fear, you see unbelief. He doesn't truly believe that God is with him, that he is God's anointed one. He had a fear of failure. He's hiding. He's about to become king. He's hiding in the baggage. Even though God had given him these amazing signs, personal signs, things that would personally happen to him to affirm that God is with him, despite all that, he still doesn't put his faith in God. And he has unbelief. Instead, he puts his faith in himself, and even worse, he puts his faith in man. It says 1 Samuel 14, verse 52, it says, therefore, hard fighting against the Philistine all the days of Saul. There was hard fighting against the Philistine all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw, any strong man or any valiant man, he attached him to himself. You see, he's a man. He's not standing upon the power of God, upon the strength of God Almighty. He's trying to put together things around him that's going to try to make him feel strong. Oh, this guy has a lot of muscles. Oh, this guy is really tall. Oh, this guy is good looking and he can throw a spear. He's trying to do what he can with his physical presence to bring strength, to bring comfort upon himself. And the core of that is fear and unbelief. And when you put your faith in man, you end up having a fear of man. He had a fear of man. We see this in the next act of disobedience, in which he actually gets rejected as the king of Israel. Samuel tells Saul that God remembers what Amalek did to Israel. He says, now go and strike them down. Destroy everything. Man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkeys. Devote to destruction all that they have. Can you guys turn on the heat? It seems a little cold for some people. He's like, destroy everything. Okay? God's like, you know what? I don't like the Amalekites. I want you to wipe them off the face of this earth. He's an enemy to Israel. He's an enemy to me. They're an enemy to me. And so Samuel gives these instructions to Saul. And Samuel comes back and Saul's like, blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? He's like, Saul's like, man, I did what God had commanded me to do. Blessed be the Lord. And Samuel's like, man, why do I see all these sheep? Where do all these sheep come from? Where do these oxen come from? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have devoted to destruction. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord had sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Listen to his response. They have brought them. The people spared the best of the sheep, but the people took the spoils. When we see the source of his disobedience, I believe that it is rooted in the fear of man. They defeated the Amalekites. And when the people look around, they see all these animals and spoils. Oh, gold. Wow, gold. And they're like, start taking these things. And instead of being firm and doing what the Lord commanded, commanding his people to do what they're commanded to do, he allows his fear of man to cause him to disobey. Yeah. And when he's being held responsible, what does he do? They did it. It's them that took the spoil. And at that moment, Saul is rejected as king. Brothers and sisters, fear and unbelief can cause us to step out of God's perfect will and forfeit the blessings he has for us. Now, last week, Pastor Christian, he preached out of Deuteronomy, going from the wilderness mindset to that of the promised land. When we look at the book of Joshua and the words of the Lord for Joshua and the people, he says it over and over again. Be strong and be courageous. Be strong, be courageous. But Joshua, be strong, be courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be disturbed. Some of you guys are going on missions. You guys know that song. But he says it over and over again to Joshua. And he's saying it to the people of God. Be strong. Because the promised land, you're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to be courageous. You're going to have to break that fear off of you. And in this year of wealth, God is calling for his people to be strong, to be courageous. Break off fear and unbelief. Don't let it run your life. Now, I'm not telling you to be fearless. There's some fear that's good. When you're walking down a road and you see a bear, you should get scared. You shouldn't be like, oh, hi, bear. How you doing? You should turn around and run. You know, growing up, we had these t-shirts when I was young. You guys are way too young for this. But we had this t-shirt called No Fear. You guys remember that? No Fear. And it was a motto that got ingrained in young men of my generation. And it caused us to do extremely stupid things. Right? Many of broken bones and concussions came from these t-shirts that said No Fear. Right? I remember me and my friends, we would go, I had a truck, I had a little Toyota pickup truck, my friend had a little Nissan truck, and we would want to go do donuts, but we couldn't find anywhere, so we would go to the railroad tracks, by like the industrial area. We had the mobile refinery in Torrance. So along the mobile refinery, there's railroad tracks that you can kind of sneak your way in, and you can ride, like you can drive as fast as you can down these like really rocky, like, you know, like bumpy roads, bumpy dirt roads, right next to the train tracks. And me and my friend, we thought we were so cool. Because it leads to this area where it's like a big, like wooded, like kind of like the desert area where you can, you know, do donuts and stuff. We were there. We were driving a car. No fear. Going as fast as we can. Driving like 50, 40, 50, 60 miles an hour on these bumpy roads. Woo-hoo! And all of a sudden, my friend's car did this crazy donut and was hanging on the edge of like a 8-foot, like, drop like this. I was like doing the seesaw. And I saw that happen. I jumped out of my car and I was like, oh my God, what happened? And his car was stuck there. We had to literally drive back to his dad and tell him, we're doing these donuts and driving along train tracks. And then his car spun out and it became like that. And we had to call a tow truck to come get it. Stupid things, all right? These are stupid, dumb things that we do. And we think, oh, no fear. You know, it's being cavalier. And that's not the kind of, that's not what the courage that God is talking about here. It's not being like, oh, you know, like all the savings that I have, I'm going to put it on this one hand of blackjack because I got no fear. Now people do that and they lose everything. You know, like everything that I want, I'm going to put into this stock because I have this intuition. It's gonna boom, it's gonna go up. All of a sudden, they're broke. That's not the type of fearlessness that God is talking about. The fear, the courage that God is talking about here comes from a place of wisdom. We need to draw from the year of wisdom. We need to be courageous from a place of wisdom. Don't get it mixed up. But the fear that I'm talking about is a fear that keeps you from living right. There are some fears that go beyond logic. It grips us. It causes us to not have faith. It keeps us from the abundant life that Christ came for us to live. I want to give you some signs to look for regarding this kind of fear. First sign is anxiety. Some of you guys suffer from great anxiety. And you don't even know why you're anxious. Have you ever felt that way? You just wake up and you just feel anxious. And it might actually be a spirit of fear on your life. You might have to go and bind that and take control of that. You know, anxiety, if you have anxiety, you have to seek the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Start taking it to the Lord. The next sign that you should be looking for is we can't hear from God. Why? Samuel is like, why did you do this? Well, why did you do this? Why did you disobey the Lord? And what does Saul say? I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I did what he told us. I've obeyed his voice. You know, and sometimes when we have fear and when we're living in fear and unbelief, we can't hear right from God. We feel like God is speaking in one way, but it actually is. It's not what God is speaking. It's your fear speaking into you. For Saul, he felt like he did what God had commanded him to do. But he didn't. He compromised. And that compromise came from the fear that he had in man. You guys understand that? And if you guys are not hearing right from the Lord, you guys have to understand that it could be an offshoot of the fear and the unbelief that you're dealing with. Another sign. We make excuses. Saul, he says, it's because you didn't come in time. The people took the spoils. I can't give that offering. What if something happens and I need money? What if I get sick? You know, some of you guys are financially, you know, not doing well because they're unstable. And don't give out of compulsion. The year of wealth, don't give just because you feel like, oh. Don't give out of compulsion. Don't give out of, feel like you're forced into giving. Because God loves a cheerful giver. But don't give what you don't have. But for some of us, the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart. And there is a fear that comes up. Okay, it's not wisdom. Like, oh yeah, I need to pay for my bills. But it's a fear. There's a genuine fear that comes when Pastor Christian gives out the 2020 fund and is asking you, like, there's an anxiety that comes into your heart because what if I have to give this money? And you guys have to understand that fear is not from the Lord. That fear is not from the Lord. That fear is actually from the enemy. And the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, and that fear grips you. It's coming from money. You put your faith in money. And the thought of not having it enough puts fear into your heart. And you start to make excuses. Like, oh, I can't give because of this. I can't give because of that. That fear is not from the Lord. You guys need to start breaking off that fear off yourself. A lot of people, this is one fear that a lot of people struggle with, is with money. And it's not because, oh, I will have too much money. It has a control over their lives because they put their faith in money. And they start making excuses for themselves. The next point, lack of intimacy with God. Saul waited 7 days for Samuel. And it says, when I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had mustered at Mishmash. It's a funny word, I know. I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offerings. I see no intimacy with the Lord in these words. Although he's seeking after the Lord, what I see is a man using God as a lucky charm. When fear comes, we're supposed to take it to God and say, God, I need you. And it builds faith. And it leads to intimacy. But Saul allowed fear to grip his heart. And instead of going to God in faith, he's like, man, I need to do this thing that's going to bring favor from God. Do you guys understand the mentality that Saul has? It seems almost spiritual in a sense. I have to give this offering to the Lord. I have to make this sacrifice. But in essence, he's using God as a lucky charm. He's using God as like an omen. You know, something to bring him good luck, good fortune. And there's no intimacy there. When we let fear grip our hearts, it blocks intimacy from the Lord. Now what did we read in 2 Timothy 1:7? For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and a self-control and a sound mind. And all that, as we draw closer to the Lord, it breaks fear off of our lives. But if we allow fear to grip our hearts, if we allow fear and unbelief to start making its place in our hearts, it's going to make us feel so far from the Lord. Have you guys had those moments where you feel like, man, I just feel so far from God. I just feel so far from God. And then when you really do an assessment of where your heart is, there's something, there's a fear in your life. Something about money, something about relationship. We have to break these things off of our lives. Now I want to close with some advice about dealing with fear and unbelief. The first advice I want to give you is to seek intimacy with God. You know, because if you look at David, the advice, you know, we see a lot of faults in Saul, but a lot of my advice is going to come from David. And David had crazier things happen to him than Saul. David had crazy things happen to him. He had Saul literally coming after trying to kill him. He had to live in the wilderness for months, hiding, fighting for his life, trying to survive. And throughout all of this, he never lost faith. As a matter of fact, his faith in the Lord brought him out of every moment of affliction. Things that would have destroyed most people, he remained strong and courageous. And I believe that the reason why David is such a stark contrast to what Saul is because of the days and weeks and months and years that he spent out tending his sheep and just devoting his heart to the Lord. Devoting his heart to the Lord. Writing those psalms. Seeking out the presence of God. Worshiping him. Praying to him, encountering Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I believe that that is one of the reasons why there's such a powerful difference between the character of Saul and the character of David. And when you see Saul, even in the times where he's supposed to worship him, you see no intimacy. You see no intimacy. He's just trying to do a job, trying to get something done. And when it doesn't happen the way that it's supposed to happen, what does he do? He tries to do it on his own. But in order for us to really reap the fullness of what he has for us in this year, we need to be intimate with the Lord. And one of the years that we had is a year of intimacy. That didn't end when 2011 ended. We need to continue to go deeper in intimacy with the Lord. Don't focus on the fear, but focus on God. I want to give you a thing. If you have some fears in your life and you're struggling with some things, first thing you're going to want to do is just give it to God. God, this is my fear. It's okay to do that. But what I encourage you to do is just go seek after him first. Just seek after him. He knows the fears that you have. You know that? Do you guys know that he knows every fear that you have? He knows everything that you feel anxious about. He knows that. He knows it more than you do. A lot of times we feel like, oh God, we had to make this long drawn out speech like, oh Lord, this is what I feel and this is the reason why I feel this. No. Just seek after God. Just try to just do it. Whatever you have to do to get intimacy with him, to go after him in that place. Start worshiping. Listen to praise music. Start praying in tongues. Start going after him. Pray to him. See, hunger for him. The way that David did as he was being chased by Saul and hiding in caves. He was crying out to the Lord. Perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love also brings fear of the Lord. We need to seek after him in the place of intimacy. I want to read to you the verse I read earlier. That's not it. It's that place of intimacy that we're going to be able to find relief and breakthrough from the fear. Number two. Meditate on the Word of God. Don't just read, but meditate. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of you, your right hand, and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As you meditate and you start to go to him in intimacy, you have to start standing on these words. So many times in my life when I have fear, the first thing that comes to my mind is a Bible verse. First thing that comes to my mind is the Word of God. And a lot of times we allow, the one thing that's going to help you from allowing fear to start having a stronger grip in our hearts, with unbelief to start, you know, like gripping our hearts, it's the Word of God. The Word of God is spirit and life. And the more we meditate upon the Word and these verses, the more we meditate upon the Word of God, in those moments of trouble, in those moments of fear, it's gonna help you transcend yourself from where you transcend to a different level. You know, when you see David and he's hiding and he's running from Saul, he's having all these crazy things. And when you read Psalms, you see that David was going through some crazy stuff. Like look, my enemies encamp around me. But I continue to worship you. I continue to hold fast to your words. It really is. It's the Word of God. He wrote most of the Psalms. And it came from meditating upon the Word of God. Let it be downloaded into your system. Inscribe it upon your hearts. Point number three, put yourself into atmospheres of faith. You know, one of the things, I was reading John Maxwell. How many of you guys have read Maxwell's 21 Irrefutable Laws? Some of us had to read that. Some of you guys got a short video version. Bless you guys. But when I read that, it's a really good book. But John Maxwell, he has this thing called the Leadership Bible. And it really, it's the Bible. He has different versions, like New King James, NIV. But it's the Bible, and he has all of these notes and commentaries about like things in the Bible that points to leadership. And I was reading about Saul, and one of the points really stuck out to me. And it says, when he's talking about Saul, it says, courage or fear, no matter either one, is very contagious. And he talks about how when the Israelites came against the Philistines, everybody was trembling. Everybody was like, they saw Goliath. And they're like, oh, they start to hide. And they're freaking out. Like, this guy is like 10 feet tall. How are we going to defeat him? Fear was contagious. But at the same time, when David went out there and he's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's going to come against the people of God? And he goes and he chops off his head. And you know what? That courage was very contagious. Because all of a sudden, those men that had fear took up their swords, took up their spears, and defeated the Philistines. And in the same way, courage and faith, it's contagious. And some of you guys need to put yourself in atmospheres of faith. I encourage you guys to come out to Sunday Swim and Friday Fire. If you guys haven't been coming out, you have to surround yourselves in a place, in an atmosphere of faith. I encourage you guys, if you're ever in Seoul, to go to a joint prayer meeting. Really sit in on a group of 200 people crying out in faith for the reunification of North and South Korea. That faith and that zeal, man, it's contagious. Surround yourself with an atmosphere of faith. Come out to prayer meetings. Pray together. Seek the Lord together. You know what happens when you start to surround yourself with other people that are afraid? When you start having fears that you didn't even have before. You're like, oh. You know, like, Don't put yourselves in those places. Break out of those patterns and put yourselves in an atmosphere of faith. Last, some of you guys have really strong, powerful fears and anxiety. And you might be holding on to something from your past. Like, I had something like this. It's kind of trivial. But when I lost something, I would be just like gripped with anxiety. I didn't even know why. And I got breakthrough from this recently, but I would lose something, even if it's something really trivial. I had like 11, 12 o'clock and I'm still looking for it. Where is it? I can't find it. Looking in the same place twice. And Mina was like, man, just, it'll come up. And then Mina would like, she would infuriate me because she would lose her wallet. And I'd be like, man, where's your wallet, man? This is our credit cards in there. And she'd be like, oh, it'll show up. And I'd be like, I don't want to pull out my hair. Because in my heart, when I lose something, I have so much anxiety. So much anxiety. Even though it's very trivial, I would have this anxiety. And I realized that, like, in the past, when I was really young, like, I would lose these really important things that my mom would buy me. You know, and then my mom told me, like, I told you guys the story before. I got this leather jacket, fly, like, brown, like, bomber jacket. I was like, oh, yeah, so cool. And the first week that I had it, I went to a Copeland Sports. I left it there, stolen, gone. And my mom's like, I can't buy you anything. Like, you lose everything. And then, like, a few years later, I got my car. Remember that truck I told you about? I was driving around doing those donuts. I went to school, parked it in the parking lot, come out, stolen. I come home and I file the police report and my mom's like, man, we can't give you anything. But you lose everything. And I remember from that, I had this like this fear of not disappointing my parents, this fear of just like losing things. And that's where the anxiety was coming from. And when I really realized that these days, I could lose stuff and I'm like, oh, that's all right. Now if it's my wallet, I'm not going to be like that. But I have a lot of breakthrough from that. Some of you guys have fears and anxiety that stems from when you were really young. And you guys need to break out of that. Break out of that mindset. And I encourage you guys, if you guys have something like this, talk to a CG leader. Talk to a CG leader. Join a CG. And then talk to a CG leader. And talk to them. And they'll lead you in healing and deliverance. They'll help you to go back to, you know, like times in your life where the source of some of this fear, the source of some of this anxiety, and you're going to be able to deal with it in a healthy manner by the Spirit of God. Some of these fears that you have seem very irrational, and you're almost embarrassed to tell people about it. But you know what? You got to take that to the Lord. You have to find breakthrough in it. It's a year of wealth. I know that for some of us, God has destined amazing things. For all of us, God has destined increase. God has destined blessings. But in order for us to fully receive the fullness of what God has for us, man, we need to break off fear and unbelief. We can't let it take hold of our hearts. We can't let it grip us. Let's close our eyes. I want us to pray.